Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, 2024 is the 41st anniversary of Donkey Kong 3. Surely, this will be the year of Stanley the Bugman. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how's it going?
It's going great. I feel like the beginning of the year is always a time to just, like, reflect on the things in your life. And I've got to say, Patrick, how blessed are we that...
Where's this going?
That Stanley the Bugman didn't end up being... our hobby horse that got taken away from us.
I don't know what we would have done this week in general. No, it's good, though. It's look, I love Stanley the Bugman. I never want to stop talking about him. I'm glad that we can.
Yeah.
It's just
a nice thing that we have in our lives.
That's right. And that we will never lose.
No.
Unless we do another hobby horse episode.
Which we probably won't, because why risk it with Stanley the Bugman?
This is a great point. Also, it's been like, we did the show for like 6 years before we did one of those. I think we'd have to develop new hobby horses.
I think you're right.
And really, we don't even truly have like that precedent yet of, because we have not done the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe re-ranking yet, where we rank all of the new tracks and then zipper them together. Mm-hmm. I think we have to set that precedent, and then it's possible that there's a second hobby horse ranking episode where we have to then zipper them together.
Oh, that would be complicated. Would the character that we're no longer not allowed to talk about, who shares a similar name with the Rankin Bass Christmas special,
yes,
Nestor the Christmas Donkey, is that a loophole that we can exploit? I feel like I just
I don't
found a
know.
Loophole.
I don't think we can.
Well, regardless,
yes.
When we zipper these things together, do you know what? Let's not worry about it right now. We have so much to consider in our lives.
That's right.
Let's just be thankful that Stanley the Bugman is here with us today.
That's right.
I mean, not actually literally in the room.
He's not sitting at the table with us. No, because he's out making sure that we got no bugs in the greenhouse.
And no Donkey Kongs.
And thank you. No Donkey Kongs in the greenhouse, please.
Is the Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong 3 the same Donkey Kong as in Donkey Kong 1 and 2? Or is this like a Jaws situation where they're different sharks?
Boy, what a great question. And is it one of the, like, is that what happened to Donkey Kong Jr. when he grew up?
Oh, or is there a whole nother generation of Kong that is like unaccounted for? Like, we don't, right? There's Donkey Kong,
right.
Donkey Kong Jr., and is the Donkey Kong of Donkey Kong 3 like someone's child, but we just don't know whose?
It could also be a prequel. It could be the Donkey Kong of Donkey Kong OG.
You're right.
Cranky Kong. It could be his father.
You're right. And maybe that's why we've never really seen Stanley the Bugman again.
Because he's too old to go on adventures.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is it. This is what it is. And that, you know what, that makes him like stately, right?
It's true.
Stately Stanley.
That's right.
Yeah, I think we cracked it. If you would like to hear us crack other things, you can go to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society, where if you support us at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you get access to our once-a-month episodes of miniseries. We are currently working our way through NCS Arcade, wherein Mark and I are going to be playing games on Nintendo Switch Online or Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pass that we've never beaten before. And we are currently playing...
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap.
That's right. And we'll be recording an episode and talking about that very soon. And if you want to play along and talk about it with us, then...
Yeah, we've not set up the mechanism by which you talk about it with us. I mean, email us, of course, at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. Or get it on our Discord, which is a place where you can talk about all kinds of stuff. There will also be a channel where you can discuss your impressions of Minish Cap. Again, just email us and we will send you an invite to the Discord.
And I'm really excited about this discussion. You know, Minish Cap is a game that I've never... This is the premise of NCS Arcade. Uh-huh. Never beaten before, but excited to have this reason to really dive into it.
Speaking of dive into it, I think we got to just get into it today because we've got a whole year ahead of us that we are going to be looking at and predicting. So let's just do it. Let's get into the main topic of the week. First things first, Mark. This is going to be a little bit less scientific than last year.
Yeah, it's true. We've neatly folded our lab coats.
Right.
Put them away for the moment.
I'm still wearing the goggles, but that's unrelated.
That's right. We've put away our Frankenstein and our Frankenstein lifting machine.
Mm-hmm. But Bride of Frankenstein still hanging out, right?
Yep.
She's still here.
Yep.
Because she knows we'll go back to science at some point.
Yes, exactly. We're not forsaking science.
No.
We're not upset that somehow science took the character named after Nestor, the Christmas donkey, away from us.
I don't know why you keep flirting with this. We're getting up to that line and someone's going to call us on it and then we'll have to stop even referring to the Christmas donkey.
You're right. I don't want to push our luck. But all this is to say that we, for the purposes of this episode, have decided that we need a little bit of mysticism.
We need a little bit of, like, raw speculation.
Yeah.
And part of that is because we suspect that we are going into a new hardware launch year. And despite the handful of things that we know about for the first half of the year, I think Nintendo is being more mysterious heading into 2024 than they have been in years past.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
I feel like last year we had a lot. We had a lot of information to work from. This year feels like much, much less.
Yeah, tell me if this feels right to you.
Yeah.
It feels like we're in a werewolf movie.
Okay.
Or a Wolfman movie. Probably a Wolfman movie.
Sure.
We're in a Wolfman movie, and we're wandering out in the forest.
Uh-huh.
There's a path, but it's not a well-maintained path.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fog obscuring our view.
Yeah.
So we can make out some things. We know some things to be true, but there's a lot that we're just guessing on.
Why is it important that it's a Wolfman movie?
Well, I feel like there's a in my mind there's a big distinction between like a werewolf and a Wolfman.
Okay, yeah, I agree. That's not the distinction that I'm like. Why is it a movie of any kind at all? It's just a path that's not particularly well maintained.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Here's what, because as soon as you started describing the path, I saw big fish.
Okay.
Right? And there's that part where there's a fork in the road, and the giant goes one way, and he goes into this, like, heavily wooded area.
I don't remember a wolfman in that movie.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that, you know, the wolfman, it seems immaterial to
the
setup.
Okay, that's interesting.
Of
well,
scenario.
In my mind, so,
right.
Dear listener, it's really up to you whether this is a big fish
right.
or this is a
yes.
wolfman.
Right, and that's up to, there's a poll in the Discord right now, weigh in, make sure your voices are heard. But okay, so yes, we expect that there will be new hardware, and so we will get to predicting what we think that new hardware is going to be, when it's going to be, what it's going to cost you, all that kind of stuff. But first, I think we want to like lay out what we know for the year so far, and it's a short list of things. We have 6 items on this list here.
Which is common,
yes,
for Nintendo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like it's not necessarily the number of things we know about this year. It's the weight of the things we know about.
Do you know what I mean?
So let's run down the list really quick.
Sure.
January 19th, so in just a couple of weeks, another Code Recollection
right.
is released on Switch.
And then do we want to just hit them all now? And
yeah,
then we'll
sure.
Be back? Okay. And then February 16th, we've got Mario versus Donkey Kong.
March 22nd, Princess Peach Showtime.
Sometime spring 2024 at the earliest, Splatoon 3 Side Order DLC.
And then in summer 2024, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. And then I think just sometime in 2024.
Yeah, I think that's
Paper
right.
Mario the Thousand Year Door Remake. And so what I mean by saying like the weight of them is that other than Princess Peach Showtime and
right.
Side Order, which is DLC, everything else is a remake, or Luigi's Mansion 2 is just seemingly like an HD upscale of a 3DS game. Like, none of them are...
Well, and I would argue Thousand Year Door is also not, like, not going to get the same, like, level of remake attention as Another Code or Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
So you have Showtime, which mm-hmm. seems like a marquee title that is coming out in March. But then everything else that we know about, none of it feels... It's not of the caliber of a major Nintendo release.
And I would argue that Princess Peach Showtime, which is a game I'm excited to play, is more in line with a Yoshi game or a Kirby game, right? Like, I think that's probably the where they expect it to sell, where they expect it to, like, engage critics. Like, it's not a Mario game. It's not a Zelda game. It's not Animal Crossing. It's not Mario Kart. Like, I think... I would guess that their expectations are lower for it than for, like, a marquee, I think, is just a little bit a level of prestige above what it actually is going
yeah,
to be.
I think you're right. And really, the only reason I was leaning into that is because it's the one thing on here that, again, other than Side Order HD, is new, is not a remake of
right.
some kind.
Right.
Right. It, like, feels like there's some marketing punch behind it. But I think you're totally right that the expectations for it have to be, I mean, I'm sure they would love for Princess Peach, whatever, to become a big franchise for them. But that doesn't feel like where we're at right now.
Right, right, right. So let's, maybe let's just like hit each of these releases and just sort of like weigh in on like where our level of excitement is for them. And, you know, whether we think there's any possibility of them like moving or offering some kind of surprise or, you know, anything like that. So first up with on January 19th, Another Code Recollection. I am very excited about this. It gives me Famicom Detective Club feelings.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I am a, like, hair short of my excitement for Famicom Detective Club.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe it was the fact that, like, Famicom Detective Club was such a mystery, and the
right.
fact that it had never been released in the U.S. before.
I mean, one of these games had never been released in the U.S.
Yeah, it's true. So maybe it's just because those have more, like, legacy than Another Code does in my mind, but I agree with you completely. It's scratching that same itch. I'm very much looking forward to checking this out.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of a long-lost Nintendo classic, even if it's less classic, although, like, I don't know how you get less classic than Famicom Detective Club. You know?
And these are probably going to be better, frankly, because they're more modern.
Totally.
So they won't have some of the annoying, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I've been to this cliff a million times.
And that is genuinely what you're supposed to do
yeah.
is go to the cliff a million times.
Yeah.
That's how you progress the game. But yeah, I agree that the baseline for them is going to be less inscrutable than Famicom Detective Club. And I'm also just kind of like, because those games didn't sell particularly well on Switch. Or at least, like, I don't think I've ever seen them in a list of, you know what I mean? Of Nintendo, of Switch games that have sold and, like, anything?
No, we don't know how well
yeah.
they've done. My guess and the speculation online seems to be that they sold, like, well for what they are. But
yeah,
yeah, they're definitely not, they were never selling, like, a million
right,
copies
right.
a quarter or anything like that.
Or even maybe a million copies, period,
yeah.
right? Like, that's, it's a common, not a common thing, it is a more or less regular thing for Nintendo first-party titles to sell a million, but, like, you know, that's a high number of games to sell. So anyway, I'm super excited about this. And then February 16th, Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
This is both a sequel to Donkey Kong 94.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the start of the Mario versus Donkey Kong series. I've never played this before.
Sort of. So it is because the Mario versus Donkey Kong series after this game goes very much in the minis direction, which is where you are like indirectly controlling the minis as they march along. It's more like a Lemmings game. In this one, you have direct control over a Mario on the screen. So it has more in common with Donkey Kong 94. Than it does the future of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series. So, like, it is... I guess I don't have, like, a grand conclusion about that, but it would be selling it short to say that it's like the rest of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series.
I'm not anticipating loving this game. It's also $50 versus, like,
right.
a $60 release. My expectation is that I will buy it, mess around with it a little bit, but won't become like obsessed with it.
My expectation is that I become obsessed with it. I mean Donkey Kong 94 is an all-timer. I like the minis games. I tend to like them for what they are. But having a little bit more direct control over Mario, I think will make it a ton of fun, actually.
And then March 22nd, Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, which I think we've talked about a little bit here already. Do you have anything else or any other like thoughts about this?
No, I am still super interested in learning more about what this game is.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they got to do like the February Direct has to have like a blowout.
Yeah.
About this thing, right?
Yep.
So we will withhold any kind of judgment on it until that time. And then Splatoon 3 Side Order. We've talked about this a little bit already as we were discussing all of the first party DLC last year. But I mean, you and I have both fallen off of Splatoon 3 pretty hard. But like, if there's a compelling new like single player thing to do, especially in the like vein of like a roguelike sort of high score chasing thing, like that could be fun.
It seems like it would. All of the things that you were just saying, I'm like, oh yeah, that's, I can see how that speaks to Patrick. I've never been able to get into the single player of any of the Splatoon games for right. whatever reason. And so I don't think that'll change here. For me, I'm more hopeful that at some point Side Order shows up if you're a subscriber of
right.
Nintendo Switch Online. And I'm pretty sure that's when I'll be checking it out.
That's a great point. But yeah, I also wonder like how long the Nintendo Switch Online plus Expansion Pass even is a thing. Expansion Pack. Forgive me.
Uh-huh.
Like all of, where, again, like the new hardware year, like just kind of throws the existence of everything up into, like question.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm excited for when we start getting into our predictions.
Me too. And then finally, oh no, sorry. We got two more things here. Summer, Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. I may straight up skip this one.
The way they've presented this does not seem appealing at all. Maybe when we learn a little bit more about it, it will reveal itself to be something more interesting. But yeah, I'm kind of with you.
If I want more of Luigi's Mansion on Switch, I'll go back and finish 3.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's also like kind of regarded as like the worst of the three games. And the visual upgrade for Switch, so far what we've seen, not impressive.
No, this one feels like a real filler throwaway title.
I agree.
Where it's like, hey, it's just Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. We're not really remastering it. We're just,
yeah.
What it seems like is taking the 3DS game and upscaling it maybe. Doesn't look that good. Whatever. $50.
They must be doing kind of a lot though, because like to upgrade from 3DS visuals on that tiny screen to a TV or even like a Switch or Switch OLED, I would just think you'd have to do a lot of work to
right.
even make it
yeah.
remotely
yeah.
presentable. And I don't know that it is. So, and then lastly, of course, at some point this year we will get Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, the GameCube classic that I've never played.
Which I like a lot, and I'm excited for it to be re-released and playable on today's hardware. I'm hoping that I don't know exactly what they could do, but some like quality of life improvements. There's parts of that game that really show its age, a lot of backtracking, a lot of like that
yeah.
kind of stuff. And so it'll be interesting to see if it is just if they do make some of those changes like they did with the like Wind Waker and
sure.
Twilight Princess
yeah
HD versions.
To just like cut out some of the busy work.
Uh-huh. Or is it just going to be a straight up, you know, moment for moment remake?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great point. Do you think that they're just calling it Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, or do you think that they like that there's going to be a remaster that gets tacked onto this?
No,
or
I think I think it's going to be like Super Mario RPG, where they're just calling it Super Mario RPG.
But they did change the name of that, though, because that was Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, and they're like, no more subtitle.
I guess that's true. I didn't think about that. But no, I still think it's just going to be Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door.
Okay. All right.
What about you?
I don't know. I wonder, like, you remember when they remade Superstar Saga and Bowser's Inside Story? on 3DS, and they both came with like Bowser's Minions games, like mini games, not mini game, but just like side games.
Yeah, I mean they were in this. There was this moment in time where Nintendo was doing that.
Yeah,
you know, with re-releases because. It's kind of like a plus Bowser's Fury type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
One was Bowser's Minions. The other one was like Bowser Jr.'s Revenge. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I messed around with both of them. But like Bowser's Fury, a genuinely great experience tacked on to Super Mario 3D World. But yeah, do you think that like something like that could be bundled in here? Or
I don't think so. I for two reasons. Yeah. One, I really think Super Mario RPG is instructive in what they're doing here. And even though this is two generations later, you know, where it's just like, we're just remaking this game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been so long that it's been available widely. And this is going to be new for a lot of people. Like, we don't really need to gild the lily here. And then the second reason I don't think so is, like we've talked about, other than Princess Peach Showtime, all this seems kind of low effort. And
yeah.
In anticipation of new hardware being released. And so Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door feels like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's awesome that it's coming. It's time that it's going to be available to play on modern Nintendo hardware. And that's the extent of it. You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It's just interesting to consider where it was placed in the last Nintendo Direct. It was the one more thing, right? Like, it was their hype moment of like, plus we got Thousand Year Door coming. And for it just to be like just a re-presentation of the same thing. I don't know. It feels like I still think that there is more to this than what we know.
That would be cool. It'll be interesting to see.
Yes. Yes, it will be. Do we think it's $60?
I do, yeah.
Even though Metroid Prime Remastered was 40.
Yeah, I mean, I really think Mario RPG is a great touchstone for what they're doing here.
Except the graphical upgrade is so big in Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I don't actually know if they're doing anything to Thousand Year Door.
Oh, it definitely looks better.
Okay, all right. But it's widescreen, if nothing else.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Which means it's time for us to move on to predictions. We're off the beaten path here. But one thing that we think we know or suspect we know is that there will be new hardware next year.
Yeah, and Patrick and I, you know, we will get into our individual predictions for the
year.
But this is one where we're like locking hands, walking down that misty, foggy road in a Wolfman movie or Big Fish.
Definitely it's in Big Fish.
Ben, I think we're both in agreement that we think that a new generation of Nintendo hardware is coming this year.
I sort of don't.
Okay.
I have a date as part of our predictions for the hardware, we each have a name, a date, a price, a gimmick, and launch window games. And so I have a date that falls in 2024, but I sort of think we don't see it next year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Definitely think we're getting new hardware.
You think definitely new hardware next year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you've been saying for years now, 2025.
Yeah, I have been saying for years now, 2025.
Was your bet?
So that's, I guess I'm just staying there. I'm just staying on my previous bet. I have a date, set for 2024.
Which you don't have to if you want.
No, I
if
do.
You want to pick a date in 2025.
I'm keeping it there. Otherwise, I would say spring 2025, like February 2025. But no, I've got a date. So you know that. So we can play this game for predictions for this year.
Okay.
I know that like the reporting that we've seen is that like Nintendo is partially like stockpiling the hardware so that they can like meet demand at launch, and that's partially why we like don't have information about it, like that they're like waiting to drop info. But I kind of feel like we would know more about it if it were coming out next year, but maybe not.
Yeah, it's hard to say because we knew so much about the OLED, what turned out to be the OLED.
Yes.
But that was also a major part of that. It turned out to be wrong, which was that it did not. It was not more powerful. all just the other components were upgraded.
Right. But that only turned out to be wrong because it seems like, this is conjecture, I guess, but it seems like what was being reported would have been correct if it weren't for, like, chip shortages and stuff like that.
Yes, but I think what I was leading into was that we knew so much about the OLED that it feels like we should know so much about this next generation of hardware, but we knew nothing about the Switch other than what Nintendo had told us, right? Like, we knew that it was going to combine, that they were combining their, like, handheld and like home console platform team, so everybody was working on the same system, but we knew nothing that it was going to be a hybrid. The speculation beforehand was, and like the leaks from people who were leaking correct information about software, was that it was going to have like analog buttons, like GameCube, you know, like all of this stuff that turned out to not be true.
Right.
And so while I agree with you that it is weird that we know nothing, it's not that unusual because we knew nothing about the Switch before it was revealed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and also, like, I think we are, you know, I guess we'll get to it when we get to talking about, like, the gimmick or feature of the new hardware. I do think it is likely that what we're going to see is going to be way more like the Switch than Nintendo usually is between console generations.
That is my thought, too.
So, like, you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of like plans will just look like a more powerful Switch to, you know, an observer or possible leaker or whatever. That all notwithstanding, I'm playing the game. I've got a date for this year.
That's fine. I just want to be noted, you don't have to.
No,
you could
I do.
If you truly believe in your heart that it's being released in 2025 and you want to do that, That's fine with me. But
I'm going to introduce a phrase here that I'm just coming up with on the spot. I'd like to have my cake and eat it too.
Oh, interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, I have to internalize it, think about it. What does that mean? Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Right, like
okay,
I want to have a date for next year,
uh-huh,
and then also still be right if it comes out in 2025.
Hey, you know what? That sounds great to me.
Okay, great.
Having my cake and eating it too.
Doesn't it sound great?
Yeah, that does sound really good.
You could have the cake.
What a turn of phrase.
Everyone loves having it, right? But then, like, well, so you want to eat it? But if you eat it, you can't still have it because eating it destroys it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So anyway, just that phrase I kind of came up with.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We could apply to other kind of. Anyway, all right. Let's do this. Let's try to item by item predict this thing.
Great.
Starting with the name. Mark, what do you think the name of this thing is?
So let me tell you my thought process.
I love this.
So in general, conceptually, I agree with you that I think there is a lot that is so good about the Nintendo Switch. It reminds me in this way of like the Nintendo Entertainment System to the Super Nintendo.
Yes. Entertainment System.
Yeah. Like that generation, where there was so much to having that, like, Nintendo Entertainment System name.
Yeah.
You don't really need to mess with it that much. And the other thing that I'm reminded of is the switch from the Wii to the Wii U generation. But I feel like the goodwill for the Switch and, like, the active user base and, like, all that kind of stuff, the excitement around the Switch is so much greater now than it was at the same time for the Wii. Yes, the Wii had sold a ton of units, but it was early in its life, and by the end, you know, it was losing its shine. And so
in a way that like made Wii shorthand for looks bad.
Yes,
right.
And then you compound that with the problem that a lot of the Wii's audience that they were trying to appeal to were not closely following the video game market.
Absolutely.
And so you know, what they tried to do with the Wii and the Wii U was similar kind of to what they were trying to do with the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, right? Where like keep that base,
right?
But just
with
show
the exception,
that it's something different.
With the exception that U doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Super is immediately understandable. A Super Nintendo Entertainment System, you're like, that's a better Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes. And
this is my thought process too.
U part of it, of the Wii U, doesn't reflect, like you're saying, what made the Wii U a unique console, which was the tablet controller.
Did the U stand for unique?
If it did, they never said that.
They never said that.
And then I think there's one more piece to this that is not Nintendo related that is instructive, which is the naming convention that PlayStation has had for their consoles, where they're just like, do you know
numbers.
What? This is two.
Yeah.
This is the third one. This is the fourth one. This is the fifth one. It's very clear to consumers that PlayStation 2 is the next generation of PlayStation.
Yes.
But...
and doesn't really have the, like, strikes against it that, like, naming a game whatever 2 or whatever 3 or whatever 4 carries with it where you're like, do I need to have understood the previous games in order to play this?
Because we kind of just expect it with, like, hardware... a lot of different kinds, like phones.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, they follow a very similar naming convention where it's just like, oh, this, the last one I had was the 6. The one that's out now is the 10, or like the 10. I know the 10 is going to be better, more powerful, all that stuff. So the naming confusion is gone. But I think that is too un-Nintendo-like to just call it the Switch 2.
It's too clinical.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I agree with this as well.
And so going all the way back, my guess. My prediction is that it's the Super Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so right now, when you say Switch, you don't always say Nintendo Switch. Will this just be called Super Switch?
I don't think so.
Super Nintendo Switch, SNS.
I think so. And I think part of that is just because, you know, for trademark reasons, I'm sure they have to have the Nintendo, like, part of their, in there, you know. Because I don't know that you could just trademark Switch. But I think it's Super Nintendo Switch because it doesn't have any like historical or racial, you know, like connotations.
Right. Sure. Right.
And you know, like
because Super Switch SS, that's a problem.
Yeah, but like SNS, as far as I could Google, nothing
seems fine.
Uh huh. But I don't think that it'll be new Nintendo Switch because I think that they've used that in the past.
I think they're done with that brand
for these like half steps.
Yes.
You know, with and. That's a mistake I don't think they want to repeat from the Wii U generation. So that's my guess, Super Nintendo Switch.
I'm applying all the same logic, except the thing that I think they want to maintain is the word Switch at the beginning of the console's name. And, you know, I know in the past we'd like joked about like Switch Advance, like following in the Game Boy's footsteps. But I'm kind of going to go with a... like suffix word that they've used a lot for re-releases of games that have been like the beefed up versions. I think Switch Deluxe, Nintendo Switch Deluxe.
Oh yeah, that's really interesting. I think the
does make it sound like a hamburger.
Yeah, I mean it makes it sound delicious for sure.
Oh, I'd eat it.
Yeah,
that's got cheese on it.
Okay, so let's move on to released. Date.
Yeah.
I didn't
and again, I don't believe my release date. Uh-huh.
But you're going to, what was that phrase that you came up with?
Okay, get this. It's have my cake and eat it too.
That's good.
And I'm going to say August 23rd, 2024.
Okay. I did not go specific as to like actual
August
date.
23rd.
Yeah,
which
hold
is
on.
A Friday, the Friday before my birthday.
Uh-huh.
2024.
Okay, I have to look up. Historically, okay, so there's that.
It's a weird. So summer is not a common time to be releasing hardware.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I'm putting it sort of like near the end of the summer. But I think Nintendo wants a bunch of wants some additional time. Like the reason I don't think it'll be a holiday time release is that I think they want time with the consoles on the shelves. Before, like, selling already, getting a solid sell-through before the holiday time when they can release, a big, big game.
Which was a successful model for the original Switch, right? That released in March. You have time for early adopters and everybody to pick it up.
Yes.
And then by the time it hits the holidays, then it's more widely available.
Right.
Hopefully you've worked out those...
supply chain issues.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that was part of our discussion earlier is that like it's part of the chatter around the next Switch is that they are stockpiling so that they have a lot to meet demand so they won't need to have this thing out by March of 2024 but could come out in the summer.
My guess is where I'm staking my flag is in October.
Okay.
I just pulled up a calendar and I'm going to say October 18th.
Okay, great.
Which is a Friday. Yeah. So Friday, October 18th, 2024 is my prediction.
And are you kind of just obeying all the same like logic rules as me, but like going a little bit later so it is closer to holiday time?
Yeah, I think that for whatever reason, I just think that it's going to be more of a fall release, but October to get those couple extra weeks before the holiday stuff really starts. But I don't think doing it this late will really have that benefit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's a little better. I guess what I'm following is the, you know, you had Wonder come out in October. I feel like Odyssey came out in October. Like that's sometimes where they put their big game when they can. But also there's examples of them doing it in November with Pokemon and even December with Ultimate. That just seems so late for this.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying October-ish.
Okay. For me, I think October is too late for, because with the August release date, you could imagine the initial stock selling out and then them re-upping
totally
for the holidays.
Completely agree.
Whereas October is maybe a little late to kind of hit that same cycle.
I know you don't really believe.
I think
it's
coming out in 2025.
I know you don't believe in the date, but
I will defend this.
But
date.
I think it's a good date. I think August is a good guess.
Okay, and that'll be my have the cake. Date.
Yeah.
Price.
$450 is what I'm guessing, because the OLED is $350.
Yeah,
and I think $50 is not enough differentiation. I don't see them dropping the price on the OLED, and so I think at least $100 difference to say like this is the old one, this is the new one, and the $100, because like I feel like at $50 you have enough people being like, is it worth upgrading, right? Or do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I feel like it's too close.
It's not psychologically enough for you to be like, I'm getting the brand new thing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I am just going $50 above the OLED. I'm saying $399.99. Just because the idea of a $450 Nintendo console seems like so much money. What's it? What's the most expensive a Nintendo console has ever been? I mean, I guess the OLED is.
Yeah,
probably,
I feel like the OLED must be it.
No matter what, they're always gonna. Well, and I guess like it also comes down to like just how backwards forwards compatible is this thing. But like, I don't know. Nintendo is just so reluctant to release something that's gonna be too expensive for someone to buy for their kid to play Pokemon on, right?
Right, but.
If you can play Pokemon on the old systems, like, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Right.
So, my guess is that it's going to be more expensive. Do you remember with the Switch, leading up to it, there was speculation that looking back on it, you're like, that is, why did any of us ever believe this could possibly be true? That it would be $199? And I think maybe the idea was Nintendo had a really rough generation, and so they made it super affordable to try to appeal to as many people as possible.
Or were people conceptualizing it as like a beefed up 3DS, right?
Yeah, also possible.
But
I just feel like they've had prices for everything are just
higher.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like higher. They have had success with the OLED at $350. For so long now, and the Switch at $299 without ever changing the prices, it is crazy to conceptualize like that hardware breaking the $400 barrier. But it's only a matter of time.
That's true.
I think this would be it. This is not a prediction that I had written down or really hardware, but it made me think about it. You know, I think the next generation will be $450. Do you think that they also turn the key on in the United States, all premier titles are $70? Or do you think that they continue this like $60
and
we're gonna do like $30 DLC and occasionally like maybe the next 3D Mario game is $70,
right?
Or something like that.
Right.
I guess
that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, maybe like $70 will be the new normal for, because like they held out at the $50 price point on Wii for and Wii U, right? And then like kicked it up to $60. No, were they $50 on Wii U?
I can't remember
yeah. now either. But like they followed slowly behind everybody else when the $60 price point was established as standard, and then like met it. And yeah, I guess you're probably right. They will also meet the $70 price point. Although like, do they need to? Because Nintendo also doesn't drop the price of their games. That like, that's one of the things that like you wait 2 years. And Spider-Man 2 is not going to be $70 anymore. But, like, you wait 2 years, and Breath of the Wild is still going to be $60.
Yeah, the sequel is there for right. $70, but right. you're still paying, yeah, $60 for Breath of the Wild. I wonder if, the way that, like, Disneyland prices their tickets, is it's a scale,
mm-hmm.
right? And so they have a, the lowest price, which I think is, like, $105. So it's not cheap. But, you know, it's like $105, and they've kept it that for, like, 5 years or something. So that way, whenever they raise prices, right. they can always point to that and say, well, we've kept, like, the lowest price the same, and yes, we've increased the high end, but, you know, it's variable pricing all throughout the year. Different days you go, right. there's, right, like, right. six or seven tiers or something like that. And when Breath of the Wild was $70 in the U.S., Nintendo of America had, you know, press statements being like, well, yes, this is $70 because we think that's the value of it. But we price things on a scale, and we're always exploring that. And we have seen that in reality manifest with, like, WarioWare games being $50, the Metroid Prime Remastered being $40.
Everybody 1-2 Switch being $30.
Right, so...
like, they are all over the scale.
They do explore that scale, and so I think that probably they won't immediately, like you're saying, Patrick, they're not immediately going to go to everything is $70. We just may see more things at $70 and
yeah.
other things at $60 and
I
other things at
that.
$50 and other things at, you know, like
one,
all
I think,
in between.
I think the games that will go at $70 will be those that will not be easily monetizable past the initial buy, right? I don't know if we're going to end up talking about Metroid Prime 4, but my expectation would be that that is a $70 game.
Yeah. That's such a good point, because we've speculated, they've never said this outright, but I think it makes sense that part of the reason Tears of the Kingdom was $70 was because they were not planning any DLC for it.
Yes.
And so
I have said that, right? I'm like, that's part of the reason why it did not surprise me when they were like, there's no DLC, because just about everything that was added to Breath of the Wild was present in Tears of the Kingdom from day one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it makes sense. It wouldn't surprise me. Metroid Prime 4 is a great example. Whatever the new 3D Mario game is, you know, like
right.
those big marquee titles could be at 70, but then they still have the rest of the scale to like point to.
Right.
So, yeah.
I actually, Mario is one where I'm almost like, maybe they keep Mario at 60. Like,
oh, because it's like they're like accessible
yes,
like,
yes.
for everyone.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, that's interesting.
Just like I would expect a Mario Kart to be priced at 60, but then also that there's DLC.
For some reason, though, I'm like, Smash, yeah, that's probably 70.
Smash could be 70 for sure.
Although
yeah.
they have all that potential DLC that they could sell for it, so
right.
maybe it's better to just, yeah.
It's a different audience, though,
yeah.
and like, whatever the next Smash game is going to be is going to have to be something different.
It also feels different to me. Like, if Wonder was $70, I'd be like, huh, but if... the next 3D, like
if
Odyssey was
2,
70,
yeah.
I'd be, yeah, or even Odyssey 2, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
yeah, Wonder, what I don't think could be $60.
Yeah, so I think they really,
$70.
So I think they really will have to play around with that scale in order to continue to be successful. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're like, yeah, everything is $70 now, but it just doesn't feel practical.
Yeah, it doesn't feel practical to me either. Okay. The next thing on our list here is gimmick/feature. And since now I go first,
yep.
right? Mine is, and I've talked about this before, but, some kind of wireless communication to the dock. It's basically a Switch that has wireless communication to the dock so that you can use it as a dual screen, using the TV as one screen and the Switch in your hand as a second screen, for dual screen play, and that the Nintendo DS games will go on NSO. That's what I perceive the gimmick to be, is this like wireless communication to the dock.
And so the dock can display something independent of the Switch.
I mean, it can display independent, like where the switch won't doesn't have to be like actually cradled.
I guess what I'm asking is, you know, your part of your prediction is that Nintendo DS games will be part of this.
Yeah,
and so they like, am I understanding correctly that the TV would be like the top screen,
yes,
and the Switch would be the bottom screen, and yes. So that's totally different than how the Switch works right now, which is
yeah,
the TV is the reflects what's right. on the Switch's
yes,
screen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
But you know, that you could still do, you know, for even, you know, in the days of the DS and the 3DS and the Wii U, that still most of the gameplay is happening on a single screen.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't lock you out of most of the experiences on the system.
I mean, I'd love to see DS and 3DS games, you know, represented more broadly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or at all on the Switch. In forms other than, you know, remakes occasionally here
right,
and there.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. My guess is, my prediction is way more basic than that, than even something that cool, which is I think that they'll put a camera and microphone on it.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, they'll put a camera and microphone on it. And then this one, is possible that you might have it as like a kind of separate prediction, but to me this is something that they will bundle in as like part of explaining the new features and why it's exciting. And I think it's fully backwards compatible, which means
yeah.
the full Switch, Nintendo Switch Online libraries, all of your eShop purchases, like your Nintendo account, you log in on your Super Nintendo Switch or Nintendo Switch Deluxe, and you're able to download all of your games that you had previously, the full, like, Tetris 99 is there, you know, like, all of it. It
yeah,
all
your island migrates from
yeah.
Animal Crossing, yeah.
I
agree with that. I don't have it listed as one of my predictions, but I'm just like, we can't start over, right?
Yeah, it doesn't feel possible.
Right.
It feels like the world has moved beyond that being acceptable.
I agree with that. And I also think that like Nintendo has enough like online games now between just Mario Kart and Splatoon where I'm like, you have to let people play between those systems.
I also think it buys them time in
totally.
That like you don't need immediately Mario Kart 9 or 10 or whatever they're going to call it.
Right.
And you don't need immediately a new Super Smash Brothers because people can still buy Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Right.
You know, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate can still exist and you don't have to market it as new. It's just compatible. And
yeah.
then a couple of years down the line when there's more space between like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe's Booster Course Passes finishing up or their waves finishing up, you
right.
know, like it would feel weird to me to immediately move into 9, but if 8 Deluxe is still playable, that buys you time in a couple of years in to say like, and now here's 9.
Yeah. I mean, we are about to move into launch window games and like spoiler alert, I do have Mario Kart 9 in that list. And this last, was it October or November? I think it was October was the first time that Mario Kart 8 fell out of the top 20 best-selling games since it launched on Switch.
In North America, right?
In North America, yeah. Which is just like, even with the DLC coming out, the gas behind Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is finally wearing off.
It's just sold so much. At some point, there's not going to be anybody else left to buy it.
No, I mean, and that's definitely true, but like that's what makes me think that like the sooner they can get 9 out, the better for them. Are we ready to move on to launch games, launch window
yeah,
games?
Yeah.
Mark first now.
Okay, so by launch window, I'm saying like the first 9 months, you know,
sure.
I don't really know exactly what window means, but not like day. I'm not saying this will happen all on the day, but I do think Metroid Prime 4 is going to be a Super Nintendo Switch launch title.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's...
Launch or launch window?
I'm going to go ahead and say launch.
Okay.
I think it launches with the new Switch. But I think that a 3D Mario game, similar to Odyssey, is revealed, but comes later.
Yeah.
And I think Call of Duty 2024 is there.
What a great poll.
I think it is day and date with if the game's already out by the time the Super Nintendo Switch is released, then I think that it's day and date. Otherwise, I think it launches with all the other versions.
Yeah. So smart.
Next year. And then finally, I don't know, some like snipper clip sized
some itty bitty
new
game.
Like IP. I can't even take a guess at what it is, because it could be, I never would have guessed hoardy pieces of paper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or arms, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's another
right.
that like fits perfectly in that kind of thing. Okay, so you listed what, three games total there?
Yeah, so Metro Prime 4, right. New Mario 3D game is revealed, Call of Duty 2024, and then, yeah, some smaller new kind of like downloadable game of the size of snipper clips.
So I also have four games. So the two that I have listed for launch are just me picturing Nintendo with dollar signs in their eyes. Animal Crossing and Mario Kart 9.
Ooh.
That like those are launch day games, which means one of them is action focused, the other one is like sim focused, and you get the two biggest selling games on Switch on the new thing. So and also like the Mario Kart 8 team, if they've just been like slowly working on those the booster core, because like that's the same team that worked on ARMS, and so it's like Kart 8 Deluxe and ARMS, and then what, just DLC for the last 5 years?
Right.
Like, they've been working on something.
Especially because that DLC is, you know, repurposed Tour tracks, and I think a lot of those people worked on Tour as well. I don't really know the crossover there.
It's tough to, I mean, they have a separate credit role at the end of the Booster Course Pass with, like, here are the people who worked on this. So, like, it is presumably distinct from the team that worked on the first.
Right. And, you know, those courses were, like I said, like, also shared with Tour or remakes of older tracks. So not that it wasn't any work, but very different from the work that would be required of a new Mario Kart game.
And then Animal Crossing, you know, the New Horizons hasn't been supported really past its first year. So yeah, and it would just
be 4 years.
It'd be 4 years.
The last one. Yeah,
it's ready. It's time. And then by the end of the year, that's where I put Metroid Prime 4 and Kid Icarus Uprising, a straight port on now this like dual screen thing that I'm predicting. Just Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yes. I wouldn't say that Sakurai has been like teasing it, but the fact that he talks about it a lot all the time, makes me think that it is real.
But you know that that is, I think, my like furthest fantasy thing. Animal Crossing, Mario Kart 9, and Metroid Prime 4. If those aren't out within the first year of the next Switch, like I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, interesting. I would be personally very surprised if Animal Crossing is a launch title.
Yeah.
And
I just New Horizons like changed like the whole paradigm around that series and what Nintendo is to people shifted.
Yeah. I mean, hard to argue with that.
Yeah. Okay, so then beyond that, we just have like regular old predictions for games and stuff for the rest of the year.
And if I may be so bold,
yeah,
I'm gonna start with the Pokemon prediction,
please.
Okay. Yeah, I think that it stays on Switch as the main hardware in 2024.
Yeah,
I think that it's another like lighter year for Pokemon, and my prediction is that we get Gen 5 remakes, which is Pokemon Black and White, which is from the Nintendo DS generation. And hey, maybe, well, actually, I just said that it would stay on the original Switch. But yeah, that's because I was going to say, hey, maybe it fits in with your
Nintendo DS dual screen thing.
But I have a hard time imagining Pokemon is going to release its newest games on the next generation hardware.
Right.
But if it's backwards compatible, how much does that really matter?
Right. Well, and I mean, we've talked about like the problem with Pokemon, you know, before, and like that they do sort of genuinely need to have a new generation come out every 2 years, right? Two, 3 years? 3 years every three
years.
Yeah,
I think 3 years.
And that, like, going longer between it means that you, like, miss the pocket of giving every child growing up, like, their generation when they're right at the time when they're most likely to be engaged with it. But, yeah, man, it sure would be nice if they could just, like, take a year off and then, like, put out a really polished product for the mainline Pokemon.
Yeah. Although, we would still be, like, looking at 2025, right? For the
next generation,
even if it is just 3 years.
Yeah.
So next year feels like primed for a remake and some sort of, you know, side project.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu returns again.
Pokken tournament one more time. okay, that's a good that's a good prediction. I'm gonna throw out what I think is kind of a this is another like current Switch software patch, right? Like patch over the holes in the library slash keep running with the porting of stuff. This is the year we finally see the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD ports come over to Switch. How many years in a row can we predict it before it becomes true?
You know, I want to know something funny.
What's that?
My second prediction is no Zelda in 2024, and that those HD Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD skip the Switch entirely, but eventually show up.
Wow.
On the new hardware.
Yeah. No, I'm not convinced that these will be on the. But I think they got to come out next year.
Interesting.
Whether they're exclusive to the next thing or are released on both.
Yeah. That was my second prediction.
Okay, so
I'll just
do another prediction, and I'm actually going to do two back to back here because one of them is really quick. I think once we hit a year of F-099, that they're going to take it down. All of their support for it came out so fast, and they're just going to put a Mario Kart 99 on there.
Oh, that could be fun.
Same basic concept, but even using the Super Mario Kart, you know, version of it, like playing the same kind of hits as F-Zero, but just with a more popular game.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun, and so much more accessible in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, totally. Then just like feeds into you know, the Mario Kart 9, you know, whatever. But anyway, the other prediction that I had here that I wanted to slot in now was some creative suite of some kind. You know, Nintendo has this history of like, you know, Mario Paint and the Artist Studio on the 64DD, and between Game Builder Garage and Super Mario Maker 2, it's clear that they still have some of that creative, let the player create energy alive, but it's been like too tied up in game creation on Switch. And I just think that there's another version of that that could be that could show up on Switch, whether that's like visual art, music, something, some sort of creative suite on Switch. And as we were talking about in the previous episode, it's been a while since there's been some like other way to interact with your Switch.
That, you know, like Labo.
Thank
or
you. Yes.
Ring Fit Adventure, because that was such a big talking point for Nintendo at the beginning of the Switch's life. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like in 2024, we are due for another Nintendo Musou game. And maybe it's Tears of the Kingdom related.
What?
You know, like
they go back to the well.
Yeah, like, you know, in the spirit of Age of Calamity, where they're like, you know what? Here's something from Tears of the Kingdom.
Sure.
And we're going to tell some like side story on that may or may not actually happen because of time travel stuff.
Right. Fall of the Zonai. We got to see them lose to Ganondorf, right?
Right? Yeah, you totally could. And
spoilers
so,
for the flashbacks in Tears of the Kingdom.
But yeah, I think, or, you know, maybe it'll be completely unrelated and it'll be Splatoon or something. But
right.
That has been seemingly so so successful for them.
Yeah.
And I especially feel like Age of Calamity had a lot of people talking about it in a way that the previous ones had been more niche. And so I could see them totally going back to the well and yeah. using that to like bump out their release schedule.
And it's about time too, right? Like we have what, three of them, right? We've got the original Hyrule Warriors and then Fire Emblem Warriors.
Don't we have two Fire Emblem Warrior games?
Yes. Yes, we do.
New Hope?
Yeah.
Three Hopes.
Three Hopes. Yeah, I guess that one was only a couple years ago now, right? 2 years? They pump those things out so fast.
Right, but it's been a while.
To the point where I forgot about Three Hopes.
But it's been a while, yeah. And so it does feel like, and if not they will, but we have seen this kind of like TikTok between Zelda and Fire Emblem.
Right.
And so we'd be going back to talking for Zelda.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if there's another. Is there another Nintendo franchise that fits in that mold?
Not easily. I mean, we did a whole episode where we talked about other potential Nintendo Musou games,
and we forgot all about it. So. No, that's good. I think you're probably right. I always trick myself into being excited. At least a little bit excited for these games. You're much better at not falling for it.
Well, I mean, I bought... I just don't care that much about Fire Emblem to, like, buy a Musou game. Because I know my... At this point, I know my appetite for Musou games. And it was no different for Age of Calamity, where it was like, I bought it, I played 3 or 4 hours, and then I was like, yeah, I've had my fill of this.
Right.
And I anticipate that when they release a Tears of the Kingdom Musou game, I will do the same exact thing.
Yeah, it all stands to reason. What about a Pikmin one? I'm sure we talked about this on our episode.
Would you be Olimar or, you know, a captain with lots of Pikmin, but the field is just filled with those, like, weird...
Yeah, those bulb guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, yeah. So are you out of predictions then?
No, I have one more.
Okay.
I have one more.
I have two more, and the first one here is, I think, pretty quick. Either a sequel to or a deluxe version of Ring Fit Adventure.
Mm.
And, you know, possibly tying in a new peripheral or something like that. Some other way to get, like, another piece of hardware in your house that's not the new Switch. We talked about it already, but Ring Fit Adventure was a pretty high seller for them and, like, successfully engaged people on the Switch in a different way.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think there's any question that Ring Fit Adventure was helped by all the pandemic lockdowns.
Totally.
And so I wonder how much of that success would be reproduced, you know, outside of it. But still, I think Ring Fit Adventure sold like over 10 million copies. So even if it's not that level of success,
right,
it could still be very successful. I kind of would be surprised if they did a new peripheral, but it makes total sense to me to be like, hey, everybody has these rings in their home. Let's do another game.
Yeah. Well, and like the thing with Ring Fit Adventure is that, like, it is also a, even if it's a habit that people have dropped, it was when you are engaging with it, it becomes a habit by necessity, right? Either it becomes a habit or you don't engage with it. And like, habits are the kind of thing that people like get interested in again, right? If there's a new one, they could be like, oh, I remember having that habit.
Right.
And that, like, wanting to get back into it. It's a good jumping on point, a good reason to engage with Ring Fit Adventure again.
And can you imagine if we meet like Drago's even hotter cousin?
I cannot. That's too hot. I think he has a hot lady cousin.
It's very possible. Very, she's like a dragon, like, model in Sweden or something.
Yeah, I love it. Let's do it. Let's get more babes on my Switch.
Okay, my final prediction is 2024 is the 30th anniversary.
Here we go.
Of Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
So the original Donkey Kong Country on the Nintendo 64. No.
No.
On the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
And I am not quite ready to stop believing that Nintendo is working on a new Donkey Kong game.
Yes.
And I think, and the rumors from like 2020 or something were that it was not a direct sequel to Donkey Kong Country, but it was being developed by young, you know, like, people who grew up with Donkey Kong Country. And so it didn't forsake Donkey Kong Country in a way that Nintendo was doing in the GameCube era.
Right.
And so I think that from a marketing perspective, they will tie it into the 30th anniversary of Donkey Kong Country. And so, yeah, I think that for a time, much rumored Donkey Kong game is real. I'm ready to still believe that. And I believe it'll be coming in 2024.
Donkey Kong Country 4.
And I yes, exactly. And I think it will be a Switch title, and it'll be like the big holiday Switch title.
Sure. That could obviously also be played on your
exactly
Super Nintendo Switch
or Nintendo Switch Deluxe.
I like this. This is so this is so friendly here. Yeah, I mean, obviously that would be great. I want to play a new Donkey Kong Country game. Absolutely.
Could you do a Donkey Kong Musou game?
You could, yeah.
Just like hundreds and hundreds of Kremlins everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird though.
And those like bumblebees with really big eyes.
Yeah, I'm just
like riding Rambi through them.
Yeah, I mean, no, it'd be cool. And then you like send Rambi off, you know. To, I mean, yeah, it would work. All right, for my final prediction, Mario Baseball. We've got the other sports franchises represented on Switch already. And like Nintendo makes baseball games. Where's their baseball game on Switch?
Yeah, especially since you have the Joy-Con, which is an opportunity for them to do motion controls, mm-hmm. or you can just do a traditionally controlled game.
Yeah. Like it feels like a genuine, and like the games came out in like the order you would expect them to, right? Like tennis, yes, first priority, Mario Tennis, yes. Golf after that, 100%. Soccer, sure. People love the Strikers games, but they love them as a third tier of this hierarchy. Which, like, baseball's next.
It is surprising that there is no baseball. And no Mario baseball game.
Right. I mean, no Mario baseball game, but also just no baseball. Like, what's the last baseball game Nintendo made? Is it Rusty?
Was there one in Nintendo Switch Sports? Was baseball in Nintendo Switch Sports?
Great question. I don't think so. What are the sports in Nintendo Switch Sports? There's that sword swinging thing. There's two different racket sports. There's
I think you're right.
Soccer.
There's the show is. Oh no. Sorry, you were asking what games were in what sports were in Nintendo Switch Sports.
Yeah,
not what baseball games are on Nintendo.
Right.
Switch.
Right, MLB the show is on everything now. It's a Sony developed game, but it's on every platform.
Okay. Let's see. I'm on the Nintendo Switch Sports website. There is golf.
Golf.
Soccer.
Soccer.
Volleyball.
Volleyball.
Bowling.
Bowling.
Tennis.
Tennis.
Badminton.
Badminton.
Chambara.
That's the sword one.
And then there's golf, because they added golf as part of the free update.
Right. You actually started by saying golf.
Did I?
Yep.
Good for me. baseball is not part of this.
So there you go. Nintendo has not given us a way to play baseball on the Switch, and they got Mario, who has traditionally played it. So, you know, let's get that on there. Mark, are you those are our predictions for 2024 for the Switch, for whatever comes after the Switch.
Locking them in,
having our cake, eating them too. Are you excited about this year of Switch? Like, I generally feel like it is tough to get excited about a new year of Nintendo products at the beginning of the year.
I think so too. We've repeated this cycle so many times, like 2023.
Yeah.
You know, we're at the beginning of the year and we're like, I don't really know what this year holds. And then Super Mario Brothers Wonder exists.
Right.
We just don't have any idea in January.
Yes. Totally. So
I guess a qualified yes. I have faith that I'm going to be delighted by the end of the year when I look back and see everything that's been released. I have faith that I will end up being delighted. But right now, look, I'm in a Wolfman movie. I'm wandering on this road. It's foggy. I don't really know where I'm going. I just have faith that at the end, I'll have shot a Wolfman. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, that's kind of more the message of Big Fish, that you go on this big, confusing adventure, and at the end of it, you're delighted.
I just don't remember them shooting a Wolfman in that movie.
I mean, they don't. No, wait, they do, actually. Danny DeVito turns into a wolf. It's actually a thing that happens in Big Fish. All right, Mark, let's close this out. That's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Would love to hear other people's predictions for this year regarding the new hardware, regarding any games that will be coming out. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about Nintendo Switch Online or the Nintendo Switch app on the phone, which traditionally those are things that we loop back around on. But I don't know. Some of that just feels like I was saying before. I don't know how long like NSO as it exists will continue to exist. And when some of that just becomes like standard.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, if you have any thoughts or suggestions or whatever, either get in our Discord or email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. And that's it. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ellery saying thank you for listening.